Daytime. An aerial view of a green two-story home nestled in the woods. The home has white shingles and a large covered porch. A dark station wagon is parked on the dirt driveway near the front of the home. A transformer sits on a power pole to the side of the house. Title: No One Will Save You. Inside, a young woman, wearing a frilly white robe with a colorful floral print, stands in front of a mirror in the bathroom. Her hair is wrapped in a multicolored striped towel. She looks into the mirror, shimmies her shoulders, and smiles. She takes a deep breath and waves at herself. Her smile fades. She composes herself and smiles again. She takes another deep breath and holds it in as she turns away from the mirror. She shakes her head and leaves. In her bedroom, she looks at two dresses on her bed. One is yellow with colorful paisleys, the other green with small white flowers. She picks up the yellow dress. She puts it back and takes the green dress, then walks across the room. Sunlight streams through a window. A string of Edison-style lights strung across the room glow. Later, she walks down the staircase. She enters a side room. On a large table are miniature homes and buildings that make up a small town. She flips a switch that lights up the small town. Figurines and trees fill the courtyard in front of a building with the words Mill River Town Hall. Later, the woman uses a sewing machine on a white dress with large green flowers. She stands at a table and folds the dress. She pulls yellow ribbon from a spool and cuts off a long piece. She writes a note that says, "Thank you, Bryn." She wraps the ribbon around the note and the dress, then places them inside a brown padded envelope. Later, Bryn walks outside, carrying envelopes and a small bouquet of purple flowers. Bryn stops and looks around the yard before descending the porch steps. Bryn walks across the green lawn, past a large flower bed. She sees a circle of brown grass about 5 feet in diameter. She studies the circle, then looks over her shoulder. She walks away and returns with a garden hose. Bryn struggles as she pulls the hose across the lawn. She begins watering the brown grass. Later, Bryn sits inside the station wagon. She looks at herself in the rearview mirror and forces a smile. An aerial view of Bryn's car traveling down a two-lane road. She passes a small body of water. Gray clouds reflect off the water's surface. Bryn, now wearing sunglasses, stops in front of a house. A man with dark hair and a beard looks at her from the front yard. Bryn smiles and waves. The man looks at her with a face void of emotion, then turns and walks away. Bryn lowers her hand, rolls her tongue in her mouth, and nods as she drives off. Later, Bryn pulls into a small town. A few people mill about the streets, and several cars are parked on the side of the road. Bryn uses her hand to shield her face. She stops in front of two blue mail collection boxes. She gets out, checks her surroundings, then places two brown envelopes inside one of the boxes. Later, a small replica of Bryn's home hangs in a tree. Bryn sits on a blanket in front of a tombstone, staring at the house. The tombstone reads, "Sarah Adams, 1972 to 2019, loving mother to Bryn." Bryn looks to her left. Later, Bryn walks briskly across the cemetery. She sees a small gathering of people around a grave in the distance. She waves. In the parking lot, she reaches into her large purse. She stops and hides behind a car. Nearby, a middle-aged woman with dark hair talks to a male police officer on a path. The woman stops in front of the officer and places her hands on his face. Bryn peeks over the hood of a car. The woman smiles. The officer with thinning gray and brown hair kisses her on the nose. They put their arms around each other and walk away. Bryn turns and sits against the car. Later, a view of Bryn's house from a nearby pond on the property. Bryn sits on a dock under an umbrella. She prints, "Dear Maud," on a piece of paper. She takes a deep breath, then continues printing. "I saw your parents today." Her gaze shifts to a mail truck on the nearby road. The truck slows. Bryn smiles, then shades her eyes from the sun. A man with brown hair and a mustache holds a box like a basketball. He makes several moves, then shoots it at her mailbox. The box bounces off the mailbox. The man puts his hands up, nods to a non-existent crowd, then gets back in his truck. Bryn picks up the box and puts her ear next to it as she gives it a shake. She runs up the dirt drive. Inside, Bryn stands with her feet together. She taps them to the rhythm of the music. She turns and steps forward. On the wood floor are several red cutouts of feet. She shimmies her shoulders and bounces her head. She moves forward and does a slow turn with her arms extended and moves about the room as if she's dancing with a partner. Later, she opens the cardboard box and removes a small red building with a bell tower. She takes a photograph of the building in its place in the small village. On the front of the building are the words, "Schoolhouse." She opens a bottle of red wine and drinks a glass. She sits on the sofa and continues her letter. "All still sounds like it used to be. The days are all blending together. I can't believe it's been 10 years. Later, she cuts vegetables in the kitchen. Her eyes widen. She dances over to the green phone on the wall. She lifts the phone off the receiver, then hangs up. Later, she sits at a small table outside, eating dinner by candlelight. As dusk falls, she continues her letter. "God, I miss you. I don't think I'll ever forgive myself." She stops for a moment, takes a sip of wine, and stares into the distance. She prints the name Maud Collins on an envelope. Inside the home, a photo of two young girls is taped to a mirror. One of the girls has red hair and a toothy smile. The other has dark hair with a closed mouth smile. Each girl holds a hand with two fingers raised over each other's heads. Attached to the photo is a piece of tape with the words Maud and Bryn, BFF! Bryn fixes her hair in the mirror. Later, she lies in bed reading a book. The room is illuminated by a lamp on her nightstand. Bryn's gaze turns to the window. She places a marker in the book, sets it on the table, then reaches for the lamp switch. Next, an aerial view of the home at night. The front of the home comes into view. On the ground, the white fence railing on the porch glows in the moonlight. All of the porch and house lights come to life. In her now fully illuminated room, Bryn sleeps. The lights go out. A breeze blows through the partially open bedroom window, fluttering the sheer white curtains. Bryn sits up. She turns to the window. Outside light illuminates her face. She moves to the window and looks down. Below her, trash cans have been knocked over. She leans her head back and closes her eyes. She puts on her slippers and walks across the room. She grabs a robe hanging from a hook next to the bedroom door. She ties a lace around the top of her robe and walks across the upstairs hall. She reaches for the light switch. It remains dark. She makes her way down the stairs and stops. Her eyes focus on a swaying open front door. She sees a shadow move past one of the downstairs windows. Her eyes widen and her breathing increases. A shadow appears just outside the open door. Her body begins to shake as a look of terror washes over her. The figure's outline appears past three windows as it runs away from the door. Bryn takes a step back. She grimaces, then stands completely still, her eyes return to the front door. She closes her eyes tightly as she gently lifts her feet out of her slippers. She lets out a breath, opens her eyes, and returns her gaze to the front door. A figure appears through the lattice covering the door's glass window. Bryn's eyes grow wider. Her body trembles. The figure disappears. Bryn races down the hall to her room. She closes the door just as the figure reaches the top of the stairs. Bryn backs across the room. She turns back and forth, scanning the room. She looks under the cluttered bed and pulls out a suitcase. Two metal racks fall off the top of the suitcase. Bryn closes her eyes. She slowly turns toward the door. She jumps over the bed and hides. As her door opens, the body of a tall, gray being with a large head and long, spindly arms and legs comes into view. The lanky being slowly walks across the room. The being stomps next to Bryn's bed. The being walks away. Bryn sinks lower and slides under the bed. The light outside her window illuminates her body. The being jumps on top of the bed. Bryn puts her hand over her mouth. The being jumps off the bed. Bryn eyes its feet. The toes resemble human fingers. The being rises onto its toes, then moves toward the partially open window. Bryn's body tightens. Bryn watches as the being steps onto the windowsill. It jumps. Tears fill Bryn's eyes. She lets out several deep breaths. She jumps to her feet and closes the window. She sits in a corner of the room beside the window. She leans forward and peers out the window. Her body relaxes. Later, she creeps out of her bedroom into the hall, holding a curling iron in front of her with her shaking right hand. She peeks down the stairs. The front door is wide open. She looks toward the roof. She looks at the door, then to the roof, then runs for the door. She pulls the door shut and sets the deadbolt. The power comes on. The TV displays an odd static pattern and makes a high-pitched whine. Bryn grabs a remote. It doesn't work. She pulls the power cord, then runs to the stereo and unplugs the unit. The lights in the miniature town flicker. Bryn stands in a corner of the living room and looks around. She runs to the main power supply for the town and grabs the plug. The town goes dark. She turns to a set of small windows across a room that are partially open. Bryn rises, her eyes glued to the windows. Her eyes move to a mirror. She sees a reflection of the phone in the kitchen. The glass frame door to the kitchen slams shut. The refrigerator doors open and close, its lights flicker. Bryn moves toward the staircase and stops. The being is coming down the steps. She backs into the kitchen. She hides in a cubbyhole between the counter and the refrigerator. She peeks over the countertop, then sits back. Her eyes widen. She turns to the phone. She slides a few inches and peeks around the front of the refrigerator. The phone receiver gently sways as it dangles from the wall unit. Two of the being's five elongated fingers grab the receiver. Bryn jumps back. Bryn's eyes return to the mirror. The reflection shows the being placing the receiver back onto the wall unit. The being turns toward the mirror. Bryn covers her mouth. The refrigerator door opens, trapping Bryn. Bryn uncovers her mouth. She looks at the top of the refrigerator door. Her gaze shifts down. She sees the being's feet beneath the refrigerator door. Her eyes turn upward. The 6-inch long fingers from the being's hands latch onto the top of the refrigerator door. The hairless gray head with large almond-shaped black eyes looks down at Bryn. Bryn pushes the door and runs. Light bulbs explode. The front door implodes and flies across the room, knocking Bryn to the floor. light flickers off Brynn. Strands of her brown hair stick to her sweat-covered face as she writhes on the floor. She turns her head to the left. Blood seeps from a large gash on the right side of her forehead. Brynn begins to crawl away. The being appears at the end of the hall. The being walks toward Brynn. Brynn makes her way toward the table holding the small town. The table flips and smashes into the wall. Pieces of the model town rain down on Brynn. The being stands in the hall with its hand raised. Brynn slides backwards. She is pulled in front of the being. Their eyes meet. Brynn's jaw drops. She has plunged the jagged piece of the broken schoolhouse bell tower into the temple of the being. The being's tiny mouth opens and closes, its large, cold eyes locked on Brynn. Brynn shakes, her hand still holding the jagged piece of wood lodged in the being's temple. She lets go of the wood. The being falls onto her. She turns and runs. The being drops to its knees. She collapses against a wall across the room and looks back. The being falls face first onto the floor. Later, faint light from the morning sun illuminates Brynn, seated against the wall, motionless. She stares into space. Her eyes blink as she begins to stir. She winces and looks at her foot. She has a large cut on her left ankle and a piece of glass embedded in her foot. She pulls her foot onto her lap. She removes a glass from her foot. She holds it up to the light. She tosses it aside. Her gaze turns to the dead body of the being across the room. She walks gingerly across the room in her bare feet. Broken glass litters the floor in front of her. She stops near the hallway and studies the body. Outside the missing front door, the morning sun shines down on the trees surrounding the property. Brynn kneels and reaches for the bell tower embedded in the side of the being's head. She stands straight. Later, she covers the body with a paisley-patterned blanket. In the kitchen, she holds a towel in her unsteady hand as she reaches for the telephone receiver. Her body relaxes. She dials 911. She places the receiver to her ear, then looks at it with a confused expression. She repeatedly presses the hook switch, then sets the receiver back on the wall unit. She moves to the refrigerator and presses the light button. Stays dark. She flicks the light switch. The lights don't come on. She makes her way to the laundry room. She flicks the light switch. They don't work. She goes into the bathroom. Water comes out of the faucet. She lets out a sigh. She goes to the main electrical panel. She flips circuit breakers and pulls on a light cord next to her. The light does not come on. She scans the room with a panicked-looking expression. She limps across the sidewalk and makes her way to the station wagon. She gets behind the wheel. She eyes herself in the rearview mirror, then places her hand over the dried blood on her forehead. Later in the shower, blood mixes with water as it runs down the drain. Bryn gently runs her hands over the wound. Water cascades off her hair and down her face. She presses her hands to her face, covering her eyes. In her room, she studies herself in the mirror, hiding the wound with her long brown hair. She takes a breath and straightens her floral patterned shirt. She turns away and stares into space, then gives a nod of her head as she walks away. Downstairs, she pushes a large gray sofa across the room in place of the missing front door. She rises and looks at the missing two-thirds of the door the sofa doesn't cover. Later, she crawls over the sofa onto the porch. She looks out at the woods, then turns back to the house. She turns back to the woods, then runs down the steps. Next, an aerial view of Bryn as she rides a bike down a two-lane road. She slows and gets off the bike, dropping it to the ground. She walks forward, her eyes focused down the road. Her pace quickens. The mail truck lies upside down in the middle of the road. Smoke seeps from the engine. Bryn walks through the letters and packages littering the street and looks inside the truck. She backs away and looks further down the road. Nearby is a ranch-style home made of wood. Bryn runs across the front yard. The home's front porch has been destroyed, along with a large outdoor swing. Bryn stops and looks at the ground. She staggers as she turns in a circle. She looks at the sky. An aerial view shows Bryn standing in the middle of a circle of brown grass. Several other circles mar the large yard. Bryn runs away from the house. Later, Bryn runs down a street in town. She moves onto the sidewalk, passing two elderly men sitting at a table drinking coffee. The men eye her as she passes by. She moves past two officers standing by a police car. She stops outside the doors to the Mill River Police Department. Inside, she sees the officer and the dark-haired woman. The officer's badge reads, J. Collins, Chief. Bryn's eyes move between the pair, then focus on the woman. The woman's face hardens. The woman spits on Bryn's face. Bryn turns her head. The woman walks away. Chief Collins turns to Bryn.
Chief.
He walks away. Brynn stares at the floor. The woman's spit clings to her cheek. Brynn looks ahead. A male and female officer work behind a counter. They glance at Brynn, then return to their work. Brynn takes a breath and wipes the spit from her face as she turns to leave. Outside, Brynn sobs as she walks down the street. A car stops inches from her. Brynn nervously shakes her arms and continues on. She kneels by her bicycle, locked in a bike rack. She walks away from the rack and breaks down. She leans face first against a block wall with a large mural of a girl with long flowing red hair. Brynn slowly lowers herself to the ground and sits with her back against the wall. She takes several deep breaths. She looks to her left. A large silver and green bus passes. She rises. Her eyes widen as she looks across the street. She mulls. A smile comes over her. She walks away. Later, she approaches the bus with a ticket in her hand. She's wearing a gray ball cap and sunglasses. She steps onto the bus and forces a smile. She walks down the aisle and takes a seat near the middle. Three men sit towards the back. She smiles and takes a quick glance around the bus as it pulls away. She takes off her sunglasses and closes her eyes. An aerial view shows the green-topped bus traveling on a narrow two-lane road. Inside, Brynn looks out a window. One of the men sitting behind her rises. The mustached man, wearing a pale blue short-sleeved shirt, sits directly behind her. Brynn rises. The man grabs her shoulder. Brynn pushes him away. She falls. A man with curly gray hair extends his hand. The mustache man pushes him away. Brynn scoots backwards on the floor. The man crawls across the seats above her. A blonde woman jumps from her seat and grabs Brynn's leg. Brynn kicks the woman's face as she falls. The mustache man comes after her. The bus driver looks back. He slams on the brakes. The mustached man falls. He arches his back and looks at Brynn. Outside, the mustached man stumbles off the bus. Brynn runs down the road. On a deserted dirt road, she reaches a steel gate with a sign that reads, "Private property, no trespassing." Bryn turns toward the sounds. She looks down the road and scans the surrounding woods. She walks backwards. She bumps into the gate. She looks around and ducks under the gate. Later, Bryn approaches a large, light brick church with a towering white steeple. She runs up the steps to the main door. She looks through the windows of the locked doors. She turns around and puts her hand on her forehead. She walks around the side of the building to a white side door. She turns away from the locked door and rests with her hands on her knees. She looks to her right and sees a cemetery. She closes her eyes and shakes her head. She straightens up, shrugs, then walks toward the cemetery. She stops in the middle of the cemetery, then turns around and looks at the ground. Her chest heaves. In front of her is a heart-shaped granite tombstone that reads, "Maud Collins, our beloved daughter, 2000 to 2012. Bryn's jaw muscles flex as tears stream down her face. A light breeze blows the hair from her face. Bryn looks to the sky. Her eyes widen as dark clouds gather and roll in above the forest. Bolts of green, blue, and white lightning flash inside the clouds. Bryn takes several steps backwards, her eyes glued to the sky. She runs away from the church. She looks over her shoulder as she runs down a dirt road. Darkens and grows in size as it passes above the town. Bryn stops running. She stops in front of the ranch home near the woods and stares. In the backyard, several people stand with one arm raised, their heads tilted back, looking toward the sky. The man with dark hair and a beard looks at the clouds with his mouth open. The outline of a spider-like creature appears under the skin of his throat. The clouds move closer to the group. The bearded man's back arches further. The legs of the creature in his throat begin to move. He turns his head along with the others. They look at Bryn. Bryn stumbles backwards, then sprints away. Above the group, the outline of a large round shape appears in a cloud after a lightning strike. Bryn walks down a small road and looks back at the dark clouds. She approaches a mailbox that reads B. Adams, 728. The mailbox has a dove painted on the side and a turquoise bandana tied around the post. Bryn walks down the long drive leading to her home. She cautiously approaches the house and makes her way up the front porch steps, one at a time. She peers over the sofa into the home. Inside, the blanket still covers the dead being on the floor. She enters. The being's long legs and finger-like toes stick out from under the blanket. Bryn winces. She covers her nose as she stands over the body. Her eyes widen. She uncovers her nose. Her eyes follow a trail of clear liquid leading away from the body. She kneels and places her hand on the blanket just above the liquid trail. She raises the blanket. Clear liquid drips from the being's open mouth. She drops the blanket, puts her hand over her mouth, and pinches her nose. She follows the trail away from the being with her eyes. It continues under the sofa and onto the porch. Bryn follows the trail outside, across the brick sidewalk, and into a flower garden. She kneels and combs through the thick green leaves of a flowering plant. She stands and looks to the sky. Clouds begin to gather. She shakes her arms, looks around, and lets out a deep breath. She closes her eyes and slows her breathing. She opens her eyes. A look of determination comes over her. She goes back into the house. She rummages through a drawer in the kitchen and pulls out a lighter. She lights several candles and a kerosene lantern, then starts a fire in the fireplace. She lights all four burners on the gas stove, then fills pots with water and places them on the burners. She finds a box cutter lying on the floor. She goes outside and closes the hurricane window shutters. She nails a quilt over the door above the sofa. She goes upstairs and closes the drapery to her bedroom window. As she leaves the room and strides down the upstairs hall, a bright light moves past the window. More lights appear in the upstairs windows as Bryn checks other rooms. She moves to the stairs, stops and looks around before going down to the first floor. She stops in the living room and looks around. She turns to the quilt hanging at the front door. One of the nails pounded into the door frame comes out on its own. Bryn jumps for cover behind a decorative half wall. A bright light burst sends a comforter flying. The sofa slides across the room and stops next to Bryn. Bryn looks at the blue and white pulsating light. The sofa flips over. Bryn looks over her other shoulder. The dead being's body begins to shake. The small bell in the piece of steeple stuck in the being's head rings as the body levitates. Bryn's jaw drops and her eyes widen as she watches the body flip onto its back in midair. The quilt falls away and the body floats toward the front door. Bryn closes her eyes and takes several deep breaths. She looks over her right shoulder as the body passes through the front door. The light disappears. Bryn's eyes widen. She takes several quick, deep breaths and looks anxiously around the room. A yellow beam of light, followed by a soft white light, streaks through the slats of window shutters. Bryn rises and runs through the kitchen and into the main hallway. she goes into the cellar. A small beam drops onto the porch outside the front door. Bryn breathes rapidly as she moves around the dimly lit cellar. Lights appear outside small frosted windows. Bryn hides by a large freezer. She looks around. Her eyes latch onto the wood cellar door across the room. She makes her way to the stairs leading to the door. Slivers of light streak through the wood slats. Bryn backs away. Bright white light illuminates the cellar floor past the steps. Bryn jumps behind a partial block wall. The light disappears as Bryn peeks around the corner. A look of terror washes over her as the shadow of a being appears on the staircase wall. She turns away and tries to silence her breathing as the tall, thin being walks into the cellar. The being's head snaps in her direction. Bryn slides left, her back against the wall. She rounds the corner and leans against the other side of the wall. As the being explores the room, Bryn sees a pair of sewing scissors on the dressmaking table. She reaches for the scissors. The being looks in her direction as she grabs the scissors. Bryn looks over her left shoulder. The being moves forward. Its shadow appears to her right. Bryn drops to her knees and crawls under a table. Bryn looks behind her at the fallen dress mannequin. She turns forward. The being kneels before her. She moves backward. The table slides toward her. It slams into the wall. Bryn grabs the scissors and a picture frame and rises. She points the scissors at the being. The being waves its hand. The scissors fly across the room, embedding in another mannequin. The being slowly rises, its eyes locked with Bryn's. The being's eyes focus on the picture frame. It extends its hand. Bryn holds onto the frame as her arm is pulled forward. In the frame is the BFF photo of her and Maud. The frame flies into the being's hand. The being looks at the photo. Bryn runs up the stairs. She leans against the basement door and composes herself. She moves sideways against the wall, stopping at the entrance to the kitchen. Behind her, the small being makes its way through the front door. Bryn looks over her shoulder. The small being tackles her. They struggle on the floor. Bryn wraps her arm around one of the being's arms, then bites the other. The being runs off and looks at the bite on its arm. Bryn leans against a cupboard and spits. The being holds its arm and glances at Bryn. She turns to the pots of water boiling on a stove. She runs to the stove, tossing a teapot on the way. Bryn throws three pots of boiling water on the being. The being crawls across the room. Bryn grabs a fourth pot. She slips and spills most of the water. The being circles her, wiping its face. It jumps in front of her. Bryn raises the pot. Bryn looks down the hall to the front door. Bryn leaps across the hall into another room. A beam of bright white light fills the hallway. It traps the pot in Bryn's hand to the wall. Bryn tries to free the pot. She lets go. Her eyes widen as she takes a few steps back. She looks through the beam at the small being across the hall. The small being moves in slow motion as it crosses through the beam. Bryn backs around a corner. The being's elongated fingers grab the side of the wall as it pulls itself in front of Bryn. Bryn trembles as she moves backwards down the hall. The being brings its arms together and kneels, frozen. The pot falls off the wall as the white light disappears. The being's eyes glow as Bryn continues backing down the hall. Bryn slowly closes a door to the hallway. The small being jumps onto the wall. The being's finger tears through the door. It uses its head to make a larger hole. Bryn opens a window and gets half her body outside. The being grabs her legs and jerks her back. Bryn kicks the being away. She falls to the floor. She rises and grabs a mop. The being moves forward. She pokes it with the mop. The being breaks the wood mop handle, leaving a jagged edge. The being charges Bryn. She rams the mop handle through its body and pins it to a cupboard door. Bryn slams another cupboard door against the being's head, knocking it out. The being's body jerks. Bryn crawls out the window. She backs onto the lawn and looks around the dark yard. She rises and stares at the house. Behind her, the glowing eyes of a being appear on the roof of a small shed. She looks toward the shed. A being walking on its arms and legs crawls off the roof. Bryn follows the being with her eyes as it moves like a spider away from the shed. Bryn turns and runs through a sheet hanging on a clothesline. She runs into the bearded man with the creature in his throat and falls. The man grabs her long hair and drags her across the lawn. Bryn looks ahead. Moonlight illuminates a fog hanging over the grass, obscuring a large round craft hovering above the lawn. The tall being stands in front of the craft. The being shifts its 6-foot-long arms into different positions, signaling the craft as the man drags Bryn closer. The man stops and looks at the sky, still clutching Bryn's hair. His mouth opens. The being continues signaling the craft. Concentric rings of light appear and pulsate on the bottom of the craft. Bryn digs her fingernails into the man's arm. He lets her go. She crawls away. He grabs her legs. She kicks him. He bends backwards. A circular shaft of white light emanates from the craft. It illuminates the man from the waist up, suspending his body. He floats toward the craft. The light goes off. The man falls to the ground. Bryn looks at the craft. The rings begin to pulsate. The craft disappears. The being on the ground looks to the sky. Bryn looks at the man. His body convulses. The outline of the creature appears under the skin of his throat. Bryn looks up. The tall being moves toward her. Bryn runs. The being runs on all fours after her. Bryn ducks under a line with lights. The being crashes into the line. Bryn runs under the clothesline. The being gets tangled in the line. Bryn runs into her front yard. She looks around in the darkness. She walks toward the steps to the porch. A piece of metal lands on the sidewalk. The tall being squats on the roof of the home. It rises to its feet. The full moon shines through a veil of clouds above. Bryn covers her ears as the being screams toward the forest. Bryn scans the fields and trees. She looks up at the being. The being climbs lower. Bryn backs away. The being slips and falls. Bryn backs into the side of her car. The being runs toward Bryn on all fours with its back arched. Bryn climbs through the car. The being crashes through the passenger window and gets stuck. Bryn lies on the ground. The being's foot rips through the bottom of the car, breaking the fuel line. Bryn crawls to the car with a lighter. The being sees the flame and tries to back its way out of the car. The being swats at Bryn. She holds the lighter near a stream of gasoline. The gas ignites. The car bounces up and down as Bryn runs. The blast knocks Bryn to the ground. She looks back. The being, engulfed in flames, collapses. Bryn rises. The flames illuminate her dirt-covered clothes and face. Bryn smiles briefly as she stares at the burning car. Bryn holds her side as she walks around the car. A column of white light from the craft surrounds the car. Bryn runs. The light follows her. She runs inside the house and up the staircase. The column of light remains a few feet behind her. She runs into her room. The light disappears. A homemade sign with a bird sitting on a flowering branch and the words Brinny Bird hangs on a door hook. The long, spindly fingers of a being appear, reaching for the white doorknob. The being opens the door a crack. Its large, black, almond-shaped eye looks into the room. The being pushes the door all the way open and stands in the doorway. The being looks around the room. Movie posters are attached to the ceiling. Photographs hang from ribbons, resembling wind chimes. Stuffed animals, fabric, and boxes with dressmaking materials are scattered about the room. The letter to Maud is attached to a line stretching across the room with clothespins. The being walks by a small stack of boxes. A single eye of Brynn's is visible between two of the boxes. The being stops in front of a photo string with several happy photos of Brynn and Maud when they were younger. Brynn slowly rises from the boxes behind the being. She raises a metal trophy and charges. The being extends a hand. Brynn crashes through a wall into the hallway. Photos and drywall dust cover her as she lies against the staircase railing. Brynn struggles as she crawls forward. She tugs at a strand of photos that is wrapped around her chest. She pulls the strand over her head, her hair white from the drywall dust. She stops in front of her open bedroom door and looks inside. She grabs a railing, pulls herself up, and walks away. The being walks toward the hall. Brynn staggers backward into another bedroom. She looks around. The bed and all the furniture have been turned over and is stacked against the wall. Her gaze turns to the window. A red, pulsating light glows outside. Brynn's body freezes as she faces the light. Brynn's face glows red, her eyes shift side to side as her body remains frozen. She flies up, her back pinned to the ceiling. The light disappears. Brynn drops. The light reappears, stopping her fall. Brynn lies face down, her body suspended a few feet from the floor. She drops to the floor, then is violently jerked up, pinned back to the ceiling. Her palms are out, pinned next to her head. Her hair floats as if she's underwater. Her eyes widen as she looks down. Her eyes move. Through the haze of the red light, she sees the being entering the room. The being stands beneath her. Their eyes meet. Close, its face a foot away from Brynn's. The being's eyes roll back. Its body begins to convulse. The motionless Brynn watches with terrified eyes as a bulge moves up the being's throat toward its mouth. A round object that looks like a ball made of rubber bands exits the being's mouth and floats in front of Brynn's face. The golf ball-sized object moves toward Bryn. The rubber band-like tentacles uncoil and begin to move, like dozens of earthworms squiggling in the dirt. Bryn's nostrils flare as the object nears her mouth. The being looks at Bryn, then opens its mouth. Bryn's mouth opens. The tentacles straighten. The object resembles a small squid as it enters Bryn's mouth. The sun shines brightly as Bryn twists and turns, falling out of her bed. She holds her mouth as she looks around her neat and tidy bedroom. She rubs her forehead and looks over her body as she sits on the floor with her back against the bed. She smiles and rubs her left eye. Her body relaxes as she lets out a breath. She rises and moves to her bedroom window. She makes her way down the stairs, wearing a long white nightgown. The sun glows through her front window as it fills the house with light. She looks around. None of the damage from the night before is visible. She walks forward and places her hands on the wooden front door. She looks to her left and smiles. The miniature town sits on top of the table, undamaged. She brushes her hair with her hands as she looks over the town. She reaches for the bell in the tower above the red schoolhouse. She turns away. She moves down the hall toward the kitchen. The house pulsates. A blurred, shadowy figure appears at the back door in the kitchen. Bryn smiles and backs away as the figure enters the house. Bryn sits on the floor against a decorative half wall, splitting the hall from the room with the miniature town. A young woman kneels in front of Bryn. Tears stream down Bryn's face as she reaches for the young woman's red hair. The young woman smiles. Bryn smiles as she stares at the young woman's blurred face.
I'm sorry, Maud.
Bryn's smile fades as the house pulsates. She closes her eyes, then looks back at Maud. Her smile returns.
I'm sorry.
Bryn sticks her hand into her own mouth. Maud screams. Bryn returns to the night before, pulling the creature from her throat. Bryn sits on her knees in the front yard, studying the slimy creature in her hand. Bryn squeezes her hand. The creature's tentacles extend. The creature squirms out of Bryn's hand and runs across the lawn. Bryn crawls after it. The ground shakes. Bryn covers her ears. The saucer-shaped craft flies above her and hovers. The shaft of light illuminates the small creature. It sits on the grass with its tentacles extended toward the ship. Bryn shields her eyes as she watches a dark shape appear in the light next to the small creature. Bryn gets to her feet. She watches as the small creature grows. Its tentacles expand into the dark shape that begins to take a human form. Bryn turns and runs. Inside the shaft of light, the tentacles reach through the lips of a young girl. Her mouth opens, the creature crawls inside. An aerial view shows shafts of lights from several saucer-shaped crafts all over the nearby countryside. The shaft of light vanishes from the craft near Bryn's house. The craft disappears into the night sky. Bryn holds her side as she walks through the forest. Moonlight streaks through the canopy of trees, illuminating her path. She stops and turns toward the noise. A young woman, a clone of Bryn, stands before her, their eyes locked. Bryn looks the clone over. The clone jerks. Bryn looks down. The clone holds onto a knife that she has plunged into Bryn's stomach. The clone stabs Bryn again. Bryn leans against the clone, gasping. Bryn rests on the clone's shoulder. Her body begins to sway. The clone stares blankly into space. Bryn's eyes begin to close. Her mouth opens and closes as she gasps for air. Bryn's arms begin to move. She pushes away. She slices the clone's throat with a box cutter. Bryn drops the box cutter. The clone holds her bleeding neck. The clone looks into Bryn's eyes. The clone falls forward. Bryn catches her and helps her to the ground. A look of fear comes over the clone as she clutches her neck. Her eyes find Bryn's. Bryn holds the clone. She caresses the clone's head. The clone stops moving, its eyes wide open, looking at the sky. Bryn cradles the clone in her arms. Later, Bryn stumbles down a large path in the woods, pressing her hand against her stomach. A bright light shines through the trees behind her. A fine mist hangs in the night air. Bryn stops. She looks into the fog just ahead. A being walking on all fours appears in the mist. The being, as tall as a two-story house, stands and extends its arms to its side. A shaft of white light surrounds Bryn. Her body flies upward to the bottom of a circular craft. The light goes out. The circular craft flies away. White light illuminates Bryn's face, her eyes wide open. She stands in a large room. The shaft of light surrounds her. Small white lights appear as stars on the slowly turning circular walls behind her. The floor moves in waves, as if it were made of water. Brynn looks straight ahead. She sees the outline of a being in the darkness walking toward her. Brynn's gaze shifts to her right. The face of another being appears out of the darkness. It looks at Brynn with its coal black pupils. The lips on its tiny mouth quiver. Several beings, all the same height as Brynn, surround her. Brynn's body trembles, her eyes move to her left. One of the beings steps in front of Brynn. The skin on its throat ripples. It raises a finger to Brynn's face. The other beings surrounding Brynn raise a finger. The finger of the being in front of Brynn moves through the shaft of light and touches her forehead. Everything goes black. Brynn walks out of the darkness into light. She's cleaned up with no injuries. Her breathing slows. She steps forward. The darkness gives way to the lower floor of her home. She stands outside the room with the town model. Inside the room, a middle-aged woman with dark hair talks to Brynn as a young girl. They both work on the town. Brynn gently sobs as she approaches the pair. A shaft of light encompasses the woman and young Brynn. They sit motionless. Brynn's eyes widen as she backs away. A young Maud runs through the room and out the front door. Brynn steps onto the front porch. Red and blue lights illuminate her as she walks toward the yard. She steps between two motionless police officers. Ahead of her in the yard, a frozen Chief Collins kneels with a heartbroken expression. The hand of another officer rests on his shoulder. Brynn holds her forehead as she walks past the chief. She stumbles backwards toward parked police cars with their lights flashing. Her eyes remain on the chief. She falls face first onto the ground. Now in the woods, she looks up and sees her younger self arguing with Maud. Maud pushes young Brynn. She falls on the ground just in front of current day Brynn. Current day Brynn looks at her younger self, her jaw dropped, eyes wide and filled with tears. She slowly shakes her head. Young Brynn sees a rock lying on the ground. Current day Brynn mouths no as young Brynn grabs the rock. Maud walks toward young Brynn, who extends her arm and swings the rock. Red light fills the woods as the rock connects with Maud's head. Maud stands motionless, her head tilted back. Young Brynn stares with wide eyes, her mouth slightly open. Maud slowly begins to drift away as current day Brynn sobs. Brynn stops sobbing. A puzzled look comes over her. She looks over her shoulder, then back. A teen version of herself sits across the table from her with a pen and paper. The two are bathed in red light. Brynn's gaze turns to the pen on the paper. Teen Brynn's lips move as she prints, "Dear Maud." Older Brynn's body heaves as she looks on. Thank you. older Bryn composes herself. She reaches out and gently touches younger Bryn's hand. Younger Bryn looks up. The red light turns white. The two Bryn's eyes meet. Older Bryn's body relaxes as a look of forgiveness washes over her. In the distance, beings stand in the darkness, watching the interaction between the two in the shaft of light. One of the beings slightly cocks its head. In real time, Bryn's dirty face appears in the shaft of light. A tear falls from her right eye. She stares listlessly at the space in front of her. Two beings look down at her. One of them turns to the other. Bryn now lies horizontal in the shaft of light surrounded by beings. One of the beings looks skyward. The beings look to the sky. Their eyes glow white. Above them, lights in the ceiling appear as stars. The lights brighten and pulsate. Bryn's eyes widen. The beings look down at her. The beings disappear in a blaze of white light. Bryn slowly descends, surrounded by white light. She reaches out with her arms. She lands in the forest at night. She lies face first in the dirt. A bright white light shines in the sky behind her. Slivers of its light cut through the canopy of trees, gently illuminating the forest. Bryn clutches her stomach and rolls onto her back. She has cuts on her dirty face. Her eyes are closed. She opens her eyes. Stars twinkle in the night sky. She closes her eyes. Colorful lights begin to flash on the ground next to her. Bryn opens her eyes and looks to the sky. She smiles and looks around as the lights continue to flicker. Bryn's body goes limp. Her eyes are wide open, staring at the sky. An aerial view of Bryn's house the next morning. Inside, Bryn moves in front of a mirror in her room. She puts on red lipstick. She looks at herself and turns, adjusts her floral top, then smiles and runs out of the room. Outside, a smiling Bryn rides her bike under a sunny sky. Later, she hangs a miniature turquoise two-story home on the ceiling of the front porch. She walks into the front yard with a broad smile. The townspeople are tending to the yard of the ranch-style home made of wood. Bryn waves. The townspeople in unison wave back. Under the skin of their throats, the outline of the small creature becomes visible. Bryn laughs, then runs to her bicycle. Later, Bryn wears red shoes at a party in town. Strings of Edison bulbs illuminate the streets that are covered with large area rugs. Bryn taps her foot to the music, then turns and dances with the bearded man. The streets are filled with townspeople dancing.
Knock on any door down in that old hometown of mine. Knock on any door, you will find a welcome, rain or shine. You'll see no fancy turkey.
Looks at us, smiles, and waves her hand in an inviting gesture. Above the town, several flying discs hover in the sky. Words appear. The end. Audio description created by Descriptive Video Works. Narrated by Aaron Henn.